From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman. Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ignoring the fact that Christian mythology claims there are evil forces in the heavenly realms and that their loving, all-powerful deity allows evil to exist, some Christians take this invisible, inaudible, and inconceivable war very seriously. Priscilla Shearer, the daughter of megachurch pastor Tony Evans, states that everything that occurs in the visible, physical world is directly connected to the wrestling match being waged in the invisible, spiritual world. The effects of the war going on in the unseen world reveal themselves in our strained and damaged relationships, emotional instability, mental fatigue, physical exhaustion, and many other areas of life. Many of us feel pinned down by anger, unforgiveness, pride, comparisons, insecurity, discord, fear, and the list goes on. But the overreaching primary nemesis behind all these outcomes is the devil. Priscilla, like many other Christians, have the same mentality. They can't possibly be to blame for their relationship failures, or even their physical exhaustion. Satan is the culprit, the cause of all their woes and worries. Without this invisible bad guy, they would have to take responsibility for their own thoughts and actions. If it's seen as a negative thing, it's from the devil. Debbie McDaniel from Crosswalk.com says that we should all pray to Yahweh and ask him to save us and protect us. Debbie's prayer goes like this. We ask for your protection. We trust that you are fighting in ways we can't always see. And we know that we never fight alone, for you are always at work on behalf of your children, shielding, protecting, strengthening, and covering us from the attacks we face even when we are unaware. Now, according to most Christians, Yahweh can do all things, yet for some reason he refuses to wipe out the devil and his armies. The Christian deity can literally snap his fingers and erase Satan and his armies from existence, yet he chooses to do battle and fight a needless war. Many Christians believe that they can sway their deity to assist them in this war against an invisible adversary. They believe that the best way to fight this war is on their knees, asking their creator deity to step in and save them from the invisible bad guys he created and released into their habitat. Save me from what you've allowed to happen to me, cries the Christian on their knees, begging their inaudible father figure to protect them. Most Christians believe that their deity will send them an imaginary set of armor or the mental strength to battle against invisible bad guys. The entire scene plays out like a child fantasizing about being a superhero or a group of people LARPing at the park. It all takes place in their heads. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't you figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
All right, so today's special guest is Kyle Silva. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it, man. So we started connecting through Twitter. I started posting some stuff, you started responding, and we kind of went forward, and I said, you know what, this is just way too much to respond to. Let's have a conversation. And here we are.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I think we were going to talk about, refresh my memory.
From my understanding, we were going to discuss God's law.
God's law. And specifically Yahweh's law. The law.
Yes.
So, the Bible says the law is perfect, holy, righteous, and good. Is that something you agree with?
For sure. You know, I think just looking at what Jesus said in the book of Mark, you know, he said that the law was kind of summed up in love for God and love for neighbor. So yes, I would say it is good.
So those laws, as far as love God, love your neighbor, that's it? Or the 614 some odd laws in the Old Testament?
I would say that all the laws fall under that banner. All of love them. For God. But they're kind of summed up in those.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the one in Numbers where we pick up sticks and we get stoned to death. Is that something we find perfect?
So, yes, I would say it is, right? It's from God. It's his law. Of course, it starts. So the first law, right, that I had mentioned was love for God, right?
Uh-huh.
So God's saying, when you do this thing, you're not loving me, right? Jesus said in the New Testament, if you love me, you obey my commands, right? Mm. So love is about action, not just a feeling. And so when we do something that God commanded not to do, that would be unloving of us. And as a result, yes. So God's punishment is just for what he considers unloving, sinful.
Have you ever picked up wood on a Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you see, but now we're getting into the New Testament stuff, right?
Well, how does that work, though? If the old law is perfect, and we've got a law that says if you pick up sticks or do any kind of work on a Sunday or whatever Sabbath you decide the day is, then you deserve to be stoned to death by the whole village. The whole village should just throw rocks at your head until you die.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a clear change from old covenant to new. And so when you come into the new covenant, right, some things change. It's very clear that all the laws were not carried on into the new covenant. So for instance, you know, Christians aren't sacrificing, you know, goats and rams and stuff like that now, right? So there's some things that have changed. Now, when we're talking about the moral law or even some of the civil laws, those may be, relevant for today and necessary, but there are certain aspects of the law that aren't, you know, still standing. And I think it's very clear when you read the New Testament that the New Testament Christians, they kept, you know, a day aside of worship, but even they didn't do it on the same day necessarily as the Jews did.
But did they keep it holy? Did they not pick up sticks? Did they, you know, not do any work on that day? Did they specially just set it aside and say, this is my day, just thinking of you and only you, all that shenanigans?
Well, certainly I think that we should have a heart of that in that day for sure.
Okay.
If a Christian, when he, if he picks up sticks on a Sunday, right, uh-huh. I'm not going to stone him because I don't believe that's one of the laws that's still perpetually going on. I think that was more of a part of the ceremonial law, still relevant for today. I think that it's relevant in the sense that we should take a day, you know, kind of put it to the side and focus on the Lord, worship the Lord. I think that's good. I think that's healthy for us. But I don't think that law is still standing in the sense of when I see a Christian who maybe has to work on Sunday for real because he's got to take care of his family, that he's sinning and that we need to go stone him. I don't think that's something that's still going on today.
Interesting. So the guy in Numbers picking up sticks to, let's just say, keep himself warm at night deserves to be stoned to death. But the Christian working nowadays because he has to, you know, put food on his table is okay because Jesus. Is that what I'm getting at?
Well, the guy picking up sticks on Saturday, right, is what it would have been back then. Mm-hmm. He had six other days to get that wood, right? He had six other days, right?
You know, wow.
I mean, are we seriously? I mean, come on, you know.
I mean, come on, does he deserve to be stoned to death? I mean, come on, just because he just picked up sticks, he can see, I love you, Lord, as he's picking up sticks. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. All that shenanigans. Yeah. But no, it doesn't matter. Yahweh's pissed off because that dude did work on his day. Stone him to death. I don't think that's a fair punishment. I don't think that's a just and reasonable thing to do. I also don't think it's very loving. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if I've got this perfect law that I think is perfect, holy, righteous, and good, I'm not going to change it for anybody. Why would I change that law? If this law is set in stone as the most awesome law ever, why would anybody want to change that law?
Well, God is the one who set that in motion. So in the Old Testament, he made multiple prophecies where he talked about how, you know, he was basically going to make a new covenant. And so certainly he can change the law if he wants to.
Well, that doesn't make it perfect, though. So if Kyle makes a rule that is like, oh, man, that's the most perfect rule ever. Wow, let's follow that. And then all of a sudden one day somebody goes, let's change that rule. Well, that's not perfect at that point. It's different. So regardless, are these rules going to be in heaven? Because these are perfect Yahweh rules. These are what he thinks is awesome. These are what he thinks is necessary for humans to follow. Do you think the same thing is going to apply in heaven?
Well, I think if we're talking about the future, I would think that we're going to be different then. I think we're going to be sinless. Our nature is going to be different. You know, I believe we're in a process of sanctification. We're
different people.
Different people, but our nature will be different. And so, therefore, I don't know that we'll have a problem of sin, you know, in the new world when God has finally changed things into the direction he's going. But I think there will still be sin maybe in hell or something like that. But I don't know. I don't think that Christians, per se, in the future will be sinning. That will be an issue. So
no sinning in heaven?
I would say, well, I mean, obviously you got the issue with Satan rebelling, right?
In heaven. Yeah. So, I mean, he was able to sin.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say that there could be no sin in heaven, but I think that with God, what he's doing with us, he's restoring us, he's making us like Christ. I think that in the future, that's just not going to be an issue. I don't think that Christians are particularly going to sin or fall back into sin, if that makes sense.
Like, is it not possible, or they just don't want to because their minds have been changed to be different?
Yeah, I would say that we've been changed.
See, that's not, I'm not me at that point, you know? You're not you at that point. You've been changed. Somebody has mucked with your mind and made you think a certain way or not think a certain way or behave a certain way. That's not really, I don't see that as free will, being able to have free will in heaven at that point. I mean, if I'm not able to sin in heaven, like Satan did, then where's my free will? I got his name tattooed on my forehead. I'm worshiping him day and night. There is no night. Apologize, worshiping him all day, every day, because it doesn't
stop. Yeah.
You know, I mean, what if I want to just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Can I just, I don't know, go
play, I don't even think
play hockey for a day or something, you know, or video game or something.
I think we're going down a rabbit hole.
Well, there's lots of those. If there's anything about this show will teach you, there's lots of wormholes that I tend to go down. So we can go back
And I wouldn't mind talking about free will with you. You know, so I'm not trying to avoid it, but
no, you're good.
We're going in another direction. Yeah.
I haven't seen you try and avoid anything so far. So you're so far. We're good.
Okay.
So back to the moral civil laws. Do you find these laws to be moral?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Really? I mean, If let's go back to the disobedient kid, if there's a child that's disobedient or curses their parents, do you believe that they deserve to be stoned to death?
Well, let's actually look at that verse, if you don't mind. Let's see. Let me pull it up here.
As will I.
I guess it's Deuteronomy. Let's see.
Leviticus 20, verse 9.
Oh, okay. So you're
anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death because they have cursed their father or mother. Their blood will be on their own head. Holy cow, man. Every teenager in the world gets stoned to death at that point. I mean, Jesus. I mean, how is that awesome?
I think this scripture in Deuteronomy kind of expounds on it a little bit more.
Go ahead.
So do you mind if I read it?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So it's in Deuteronomy, it's chapter 21, starting in verse 18. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, who will not obey the voice of his father and the voice of his mother, and though they chastise him, will not give heed to them, Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. I think a lot of people, when they read this verse, they're thinking about a young kid. I don't think that's what it's saying.
Even teenagers at that point are still kids, right? I'm 40. Teenagers are kids to me. So when you see a kid who's a teenager bad mouthing their parents or being rebellious or stubborn, I mean, I still don't think they deserve to be stoned to death. I mean, you grow up, you learn your lessons, you know, you don't deserve to be having rocks thrown at your head till you die.
So I think if you look at the context of what it's saying, though,
context,
this isn't like a first time, you know, event, right? This is something that's been happening for a while. There's a habitual aspect to what's happening. And of course that some of the actions that they list there are glutton and drunkard.
Also stubborn and rebellious are also two other things they list there.
Well, exactly. I mean, and someone who's getting drunk all the time and not, you know, taking any advice about that is, I would say, is probably stubborn and rebellious, right?
So stone them all. Stone all those drunks to death. They deserve it, right?
Well, we're talking about a specific scripture here. So, but it's talking about a rebellious son. And so I think if you look at the context of the verse, I don't think that you could argue, as some try, that this is a small child or something like that. This is teenager. An older. I would say potentially I could agree with you there, a teenager. That has a habitual problem that's been going on for a while. This isn't you get into an argument with your son one time and then that's it. We need to take him to the elders at the city and we stone him today. That's it.
I was a tough kid, man.
Yeah.
I fought back at everything. I was rebellious. Yeah. I was stubborn. Mm-hmm. I eventually became a drunkard and, passed that. But I mean, I didn't deserve to be stoned to death. There were years of my childhood, teenage years, childhood, that I was rebellious and stubborn. I fought against all this stuff. The church, the Bible, my parents. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't deserve to be stoned to death. I change. People can change. You get life experience. Sure. You learn things. You read things. You see other people doing other things. You're like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that kind of person. I'd like to be this. You can change. You don't have to stone them to death, even though they've got years of being stubborn and rebellious or even a drunkard. I mean, that's such a ridiculous thing to stone someone to death for being a drunkard. Holy cow, man. You know how many of us would die?
I would have been one of them as well, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have our issues. It doesn't mean we
in junior high, so I would have been on that list.
That doesn't mean you deserve to be stoned to death. I wouldn't stone Kyle to death for drinking in junior high. Even if you drank from junior high to the very end of high school, I still don't think you deserve to be stoned to death. But Yahweh, on the other hand, says it's a perfect idea. What a great idea. Let's stone all those rebellious drunks. I mean,
So again, God sets the standards. So
God sets the standards.
Yeah, for sure. God sets the standards. So because when we're talking about this, right, you're making a claim, and in that claim, you're reaching out to a morality that you would say is far superior to that of God's, right?
Absolutely. I would have 100% agreed that I am more moral than your God. That's a stance I definitely take. Absolutely.
Okay. And where does that morality come from?
Regardless, we can get into that. But first off, Yahweh tortures children out of jealousy. That's what he does. He's a jealous God who punishes children for the sins of their father. This is something he does. Guess what I don't do? I don't punish my kids out of jealousy or anybody else's kids out of jealousy. I don't get angry when my kids call somebody else dad, which they don't. But if they did, I wouldn't be like, death and torture forever. You are not loving me. Why are you not loving me? I will torture you. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. If you're going with the whole loving, compassionate deity there, I mean, that makes zero sense.
Well, again, you know, he's the creator, right?
He's the standard, right?
Yeah. Also, yeah,
our standard for morality gets jealous when somebody he punishes children out of jealousy. So that's our standard.
Well, jealousy isn't necessarily wrong, right? So
is jealousy not a sin?
It is, but
okay. So why is it not sinful when the creator sins?
So let me explain it real quick. So for instance, if your wife, right?
I love it when everybody goes back to my wife. Go ahead, bring it up.
Complete hypothetical, okay? but let's just say, you know, you found out your wife was cheating. You know, you saw some messages on her cell phone or something like that, for instance. Uh-huh. And so there may come up, you know, a feeling of jealousy. Now, that feeling of jealousy, I don't believe is necessarily evil. Now, there can be evil jealousy.
It's the acting on it. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So when I read about God having jealousy in the Bible, I think of it basically the same way, because that's to me how he describes it very clearly.
He doesn't act on it, is what you're saying? He doesn't act on his
jealousy? No. So
he does act on his jealousy.
Yes, he does.
So why is it not sinful when he acts on his jealousy?
Again, because he is the creator, right? So specifically when we talk about jealousy, right, for God. He relates that jealousy in regards to idols, correct?
Well, idols or worshiping other gods or not believing in him or doing things he doesn't like, such as, you know, gay marriage.
Since he sets the standards, right?
I don't know how he does, though. We haven't got to, we'll get to there. We'll get to there. Go ahead.
And he's the creator.
He sets the standards.
He sets the standards and he's the creator. So when he made us with a purpose, right?
He made us with a purpose.
Yeah. And our purpose is to glorify him. So
true, Isaiah.
If we are worshiping idols, we're not glorifying him and we're not living out our created purpose. So when he gets jealous, and as it's very clear, he does judge us for sin and things of that nature. So yes, he will act out on his jealousy and he has the right to do that. So
that's disgusting. I'm just going to let you know right now. That's disgusting. When I act out on jealousy towards a child because of the sins of the father, that's disgusting. And when Yahweh does it, it's the same way. Why does Yahweh continue to get a pass? This is the craziest thing to me. I don't understand why Yahweh is allowed to torture kids, but nobody else can torture kids and see it as good. Why does Yahweh get a pass?
Well, again, you know, like I said, he's the creator.
Okay, stop right there. Mm. He's the creator and he sets the standards. His standards that he has set is let's torture kids out of jealousy. That's the standard I see. And if I don't like something, wipe them out. That's the standard I see. So why can't we do the same thing?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question.
Just saying.
Well, let me ask you a question because I want to test your consistency here.
Do it. Let's go.
Do you support abortion?
This is a great question. Yes, I support abortion. I support a woman's right to choose 100%. But let's go into Yahweh. Does Yahweh support abortion? Yes, Yahweh supports abortion. Yahweh uses abortion as a punishment. He wipes out during the flood. He wipes out every kid every woman that was pregnant, wiped out. Guess what happens to the fetus?
Yeah.
It dies too. Yahweh uses abortion as a punishment. So why do you think that Yahweh's against abortion? Where in the Bible does it say that? It's so weird to me. That's a great, great one. Nice job. Where does it say? Where does it say that?
Okay, so I can definitely go to some passages, but before we, you know, because you took the dodgeball, you threw it back, right?
Yeah. So, bring it back, throw it back. I'll catch you.
Yeah. So when you say you support abortion, right?
Yes. Woman's right to choose. Absolutely.
Okay. So you support the women's right to choose. How do you, when you look at that and what's that taking place, how do you consider that not murder?
First off, I follow the science, and the science says at certain points they can feel things and they're conscious beings. We do that the abortion part when they're just a lump of cells. Yeah. Now there are some places that do, you know, later term abortions and whatnot. That's a whole nother topic. I'm not too on that, but at the same point, it is the woman's body. That is a parasite essentially that is feeding off of her and needs her to continue to live. Now, is it her choice or the parasite that's sucking off of the woman's choice? No, it's the sentient being's choice. That's where it lies. And that's where I'm at.
So you say you define the line at when it feels pain?
When it feels pain, when it becomes conscious, all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And again, I'm not a scientist. I haven't brushed up on it. I wasn't ready for this topic. But that's where I'm at. That's what I feel. And that's where the scientific part comes in, the scientific backing part comes in with the feeling and the different ages and whatnot.
Okay. So I'm still not avoiding the question. I know
you're good.
I'm going to go back to it. But real quick. So if we're following the science, right? The science does say that at conception, there's a unique set of DNA that forms that didn't exist before.
Okay.
And will not exist again. Right. So knowing that science, why wouldn't you consider it human life from then?
It's a clump of cells, Kyle. I mean, cells have DNA, right?
For sure.
Okay, so I'm not a biologist, scientist by any means, but cells have DNA. So at the clump of cells, I could sneeze and it's got DNA in it, right?
Mm.
So why is not, you know, flushing my snot down the drain murder? Right?
So... But again, we're talking about something different, right?
Right,
so,
something and, different. And even, something even, later even NASA, on down,
right, when they find bacteria on a planet or something like that, they'll come out and there'll be some type of article that says, we found life, right?
It'll be we found big, bacteria.
Yeah, we found this big revelation, right? And that is cool. I'm not denying the, you know, the beauty in that. But,
coolness.
You know, I love beauty. But how come when we come to... conception and this unique set of human DNA, we look at that and we say, oh no, that's not life, it's just a clump of cells.
Again, I'm just going to go back with the science I haven't really studied up on too much. Clump of cells versus a sentient being, there's a big difference there, and that's where I draw the line. But throwing the dodgeball back, Yahweh doesn't care. He has no care. He just, yeah, this is how you do it. What was it, the bitter waters? This is how you can tell if your wife's been cheating on you. I'll give you an abortion. What? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Yahweh. It's perfect. That's holy. That's righteous. That's good. But for some reason, Christians have a problem with abortion. Yahweh doesn't. He slaughters children throughout, no matter what age, no matter if they're a clump of cells to teenagers, apparently. I mean, he doesn't care. Why do you think God has any kind of special affiliation towards the kids? I mean, he doesn't care, man. He drowns them. He starves them. He tortures them. He makes their parents eat them when they worship other gods. I mean, he uses them as a punishment halfway through, through half of it.
Yeah. So, again, you know, when we come to topics like this, we have to start with a few things. And I'm going to seem very repetitive, but it's for a reason.
You're good. Go ahead.
He's creator. He sets the standard.
Ah,
right?
But that part I don't get, though.
And hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. In your claim, right, because you're making this claim again, you know, reaching out to a supposed superior set of morality. And but in that, you're also saying or presupposing the innocence of man, right? That
we are presupposing the innocence of a child, actually, not man.
Yeah.
No, we've all got our own faults and issues.
Presupposing the innocence of a child. So
absolutely.
I don't think that the Bible says that children are innocent. I don't think it says that. Okay. So when God judges and children die as a result of that, it is not sin, right? Because you're basically saying God is sinning by doing this thing. It's evil, it's wicked.
I'm saying he does the things he tells us not to do. Mm-hmm. Jealousy, he's self-centered, stuff like that. He tells us not to do things, but then he just goes around and does it and says, "Yeah, I can do whatever I want. I'm God. Who are you? Where were you when I created the universe?" That's what I see.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very egotistical and like, wow, dude. No, you're sinning as well. If this is a sin for somebody else, why is this not a sin for you? Oh, because I'm God. Well, that's not how life
works. No, not necessarily. I think what you're missing, the fact is that there, no one is innocent, right? No one is good, right?
See, now we're getting there. Now we're getting to that original sin part where every infant is tainted and deserves to be burnt in hell because Adam ate a fruit.
I don't know that they're, you know, burnt in hell. So I don't presume.
Okay. Okay. No, you're right.
On that. Yeah.
I apologize. I don't want to presume anything. So
yeah.
Where do children go when they're sinful? They're sinful at birth.
For sure.
But they go to hell.
So I'm going to do something that you like to hear. I'm going to say, I don't know.
Love it.
I don't believe there's enough scripture to say either or. So
there isn't. Yeah, you're right. And it it leaves it up to interpretation, which is, I think, detrimental and a horrible thing. But see, that just, okay, so let's work through that. If we've got a kid who's sinful, right, from birth because of the original sin, so they're tainted with it. They've got it all over them. They get run over by a car. Where do they go?
You know, my hope is for heaven. I don't wish hell on anyone, right? You know, again, in a situation like that, and I know people hate it when I say it, I get in arguments with Christians over it too. You know, I got a mother-in-law that really, it's hardcore about they're in heaven, and I certainly hope so. I definitely don't want to argue against that per se, but I just choose to say I don't know. So,
and that's perfectly fine. You're allowed. I mean, it's a very complicated topic for sure. Mm-hmm. So, when you don't know something, do you research it further? Do you look into it? Like, for instance, this specific topic, are you going
to? So I guess if you want to get to the nitty gritty of my position on that topic, it would be basically, I could take any position and be okay with it, in the sense that, you know, when I think about the topic, I also take into account that God is loving and that he is wise. And so when I take that into account, certainly he could save them all. And if he does, great. You know, there's an in-between position where they believe that God saves some and not all. You know, if that's what he does, you know, I'm going to lean on his wisdom and for why he did that. And then obviously there's someone can make the argument that he saves none. I don't know that. They could say that for sure, again, because they're making knowledge. They're saying that they have knowledge about something I don't know that they have knowledge about. But but if God did something like that, which I don't think actually is a reasonable answer for that, I would still have to trust that he has a loving and wise reason for it. But I wouldn't understand it, and I don't know why.
So children in the flood, you don't know if they went to heaven or they did go to heaven.
Well, I know what God says about the people at that time, and that there was great evil on the earth basically during that time. And so my assumption would be that most of the people that died at that time didn't, you know, go to heaven. If there is anybody that died in the flood that did go, again, that would be making a knowledge claim that I don't think I can make. So. Hmm. Yeah,
well, I appreciate not just assuming.
Yeah,
it's nice to have a guest that doesn't just assume things. So the loving and wise part, where do you get this idea that Yahweh himself is loving, wise, even competent? Where do you get this idea?
Well, I get it from scripture. You know, there's scriptures that say, trust on the Lord, right? Lean not on your own understanding. But trust in him, he'll make your path straight. Do not trust in your own wisdom. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But
so his own words.
For sure, yeah. The Bible, right? Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:16, you know, all scripture is Yahweh breathed and useful for preaching, teaching. Is this something you follow?
For sure.
So Yahweh's own words, he's just telling you that he's great. and you're just accepting it?
Well, you know, if we want to get into, I don't want to go too far into this topic maybe, but I definitely would say, yes, I presuppose the God of the Bible. And I think that anyone who doesn't presuppose the God of the Bible lives in a world of subjectivity.
And what's wrong with that?
It leads to absurdity. And I would say most people that live in a world of subjectivity don't actually live that way. They live as if things are objective, but
interesting.
Yeah. But they claim to believe in subjectivity.
Oh, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
If I told you that I was an awesome spaceman, would you believe it?
No.
So why do you believe the Bible?
Well, number one, the Bible does say that we all know that the God of the Bible exists.
But that doesn't matter. Why do you believe that? Why do you believe anything the Bible says? It says a lot. So, yeah. I mean,
I guess we could go into a little bit of my backstory here. So I didn't really
great timing. Go ahead.
So that way, just to make sense of my view on that. Right. So,
absolutely. Go ahead.
But I didn't really grow up Christian. Right. So I grew up with, you know, my mother and father were what you would probably call nominal Christians. You know, they would, if you ask them, they'd say they're Christian, but it really had no effect on their day-to-day life. You know, we'd go to church every now and then. And when I was real young, we went to church for a little while. And then, of course, they baptized me into the Methodist church.
Methodist.
But growing up, I was definitely more agnostic. Mm. So, and I had no desire to go to church, read the Bible. I didn't care anything about that stuff, you know. When I did go to church, there was this one church I did like to go to, but it was not because I wanted to hear about God. It's because they had good donuts in the morning.
That was one thing I miss about church right there is the donuts and coffee.
Yeah.
And those communion wafers. Man, they were so good.
So for me, I don't want to sound too dramatic here or even claim an exact similar experience, but for me, I kind of had like a Paul on the road of Damascus experience. Oh, I'm not saying I saw God, right?
Okay.
So I don't want to over exaggerate the experience, but for me, it was just kind of like this thing that just happened, and all of a sudden, I'm going to church. I'm believing.
What was this thing that just happened, though? What was it that happened? The snap.
Well, I would say God just changed me.
Well, that's such a weird thing to say. Yeah. How did that work? Like, you just changed your mind in the middle of the night? Hey, I love God now. Like, how did that work?
Well, obviously, God works through our experiences and things like that to reach out.
No, it's not obvious. Sorry, Kyle. That's just not obvious to me.
Well, I think it is obvious. That's fine that you say that. I think it is obvious. But, you know, obviously, for me, right, since you don't want to say you.
For you,
I thank God worked through things in my life to reach out to me. Because like I said, as a kid, you know, I still think it's weird even when I think about it now, because it's just, I wasn't thinking about church or anything like that. So for me, when I look at what God, where I am now, it's just, the only thing I can think of is he just came and he changed me. That's it.
Came and changed you?
Came and changed me.
Like, he physically came down and like not touched physically. Your head or like, no. How does that work?
No, not physically.
Not physically. Just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
How did he change you? Like, how does that work?
So, I mean,
did he like manipulate your mind and actually just muck with your free will and be like, no, you're not going to think this anymore. You're going to think this now. Like, how does that work?
Well, actually, maybe that's why I'm being a little hesitant. I'm trying not to go down the free will hole.
We're going to end up there eventually. Just do it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. So, it always does.
But basically, I think it depends on what your definition of free will is. I mean, if your free definition of free will is the way it's positioned in the Bruce Almighty movie, then I would say that I don't think that that's exactly the type of will that we have. I believe we have a will, but I think that God also has a will, and his will is more free, so to speak, than mine. So I think that certainly God does, I'm trying to find the right word for it. Certainly God does do things in our lives, and he can interact with us that would, you know, I guess be against our will in a sense, you know.
Influence, perhaps?
I'm sorry?
Influence, perhaps?
So, because technically God's doing things in our lives every day. I mean, you know, it may rain all of a sudden. I don't want it to rain, and God can be going against my will in that sense. You know?
Is that an influence, though? Like, to me, free will is free from an outside influence. And what I see is Yahweh influences and intercedes and interjects and floods and drowns and starves and all kinds of things. I don't see the free will in it at all. It's very, whatever he wants to do is going to happen. I mean, it's in the Bible, Daniel 3 or 9, I can't remember, but he says, you know, what doesn't matter, whatever you want. I'm going to look it up. Continue.
Yeah, go ahead. So I think we have a will.
Okay.
I think that God, you know, basically, if you look at the gospel and you read about salvation, I think that it's very clear that God can come and save us and change us. And when he does that, he doesn't necessarily ask our permission. But when he does that and he changes our nature, our desires also change. And so instead of us fighting against it, per se, we accept and embrace it. And then, you know, again, we have new desires and stuff going forward. So
that's changing us, though. I mean, he's literally influencing us and changing us. That's an outside influence coming in. That's not free will for me. I mean, in Daniel 4:35 is what it was. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. That's not free will to me. And then you go into, like you said, in Isaiah, he says that we are created to worship him. And what happens if we don't create, we don't worship him?
Sure.
He slaughters our kids. That's not a free will. He's interceding all the time.
Yeah.
I don't see that as free will at all.
Well, I'd agree with you. I don't believe that that is what the Bible says. That type of free will, I don't know. I don't think the Bible says we have that.
I mean, even the Pharaoh, we can go into the Pharaoh in Exodus. I mean, he hardened his heart. How many times? 5-6 times? I mean, yes, we can make an argument for the Pharaoh hardening his own heart. But there were several times where Pharaoh was like, you know what? I'm going to let these people go worship their deity in the desert like he wants them to. And then God comes in and says, no, that's not part of the plan. What are you doing? Harden. And then he makes him chase him at the end so he can kill all the horses. It's like, it's so over the top and ridiculous. And then he even admits he did all of this for a reason. And you know what his reason was? To show off his powers. Wow. Do you think the Egyptians became Christians? No. They still worship their gods, even afterwards. So all of this was pointless, just to show off his power. Why? So we can kill a bunch of kids and horses and Pharaoh. And it makes no sense.
Well, when you say, again, you know, when we talk about these stories like that, again, you have to start from the beginning, right?
Absolutely.
Because the way you make it sound right there is that God just suddenly attacked this innocent group of people that were perfect and never did anything wrong is almost how it makes it sound.
It doesn't get any better if we look at the beginning, though.
If you read the book of Exodus, right, when it talks about before God ever got to the plagues, right? So they were harsh slave masters over Israel, right? That's what the scripture says. And before God ever, took the lives of any of their children, they had been taking the lives of Israel's children before that.
So that makes it okay, right?
Well, what they were, God has the right.
Screw their kids.
As judge, right? God has the right as judge.
Man, to do what he wants. That's so disgusting. That's so terrible. Why does God get a pass when he's allowed to kill kids? I don't care how holy or righteous or awesome he thinks he is. The second he kills kids out of jealousy or anger or revenge, He's not a holy, awesome guy. He deserves to be judged for his actions. Do you worship him for the things he's done?
Yes.
Then why can you not judge him for the things he's done? And slaughtering kids, starving children in Hosea because their parents worshiped a different deity. I don't think any of that's right. I don't think any of that deserves praise and worship and honor. I think it deserves to be judged. I think he deserves to be... almost ridiculed for the things he's done. I mean, we cannot seriously worship a God that kills kids out of jealousy. I can't get behind something like that, besides the whole worship thing. Even if I felt the need to worship something, it wouldn't be a God that drowns kids, that kills the Pharaoh's own son out of anger, out of retribution, out of vengeance. That's not the right choice to make. I can just a simple, empathetic human being who's, you know, sinful and tainted. I can tell you that's not a good idea. But Yahweh, that's just what he does. And I don't see that.
You have to start with the fact that we're sinful when he's making all these judgments. Otherwise, you're getting into that whole thing again where you're presuming innocence. But then also, I would say that, again, you're reaching for a set of morality that is subjective and basically your own opinion.
Can we both agree that torturing kids is not a good thing?
Yes.
I don't care there's any circumstance. I don't care how awful that child is. I don't care how much of an asshole he is. He doesn't deserve to be tortured.
For sure. We're talking about humans.
Right. Human kids.
Yes.
So if their parents decided to worship Allah or Hindus or Buddhists, I don't even care. Do you think those kids deserve to be tortured or even killed?
I think I'm not going to presume what is right in that instance for God to do. That's what I think.
Me and you, Kyle. Me and you.
Yeah.
We walk up to a village. These guys are worshiping a different deity. Do we go in and say those kids deserve to be tortured? Those kids deserve to be slaughtered. Do we say that? As regular human beings, as men walking into a village, do we?
Yeah, I would say unless we had some type of divine revelation from God that was, you know, because now we're getting into what is almost the story of Israel when they went into taking the land, correct?
I was talking about Hosea and the Ephraim, I think it was Ephraim, those people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where he says he's going to slaughter their cherished offspring because they were worshiping another god.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were talking about when they went to take the land and they basically were supposed to wipe out the Canaanites, right?
There's that as well, Amorites, the Canaanites, now, it doesn't matter.
So what they did in that situation, they had divine revelation from God to do those things. I would say for me, myself today, if you're talking about me going into a village and just wiping out a group of people, that would have to be something that I had divine revelation to do. And I don't see that happening. Yeah, I don't see that happening. So I would say no.
Okay,
I would say we can agree on a no.
Right? On a no. Yes. I love it. End of show. We agreed. Okay, so you're agreed. That's not a good idea. We shouldn't walk into this village, but only if we had divine, whatever that word is I'm thinking of. If God told us
revelation.
To do it. Revelation, there it is. Thank you.
Yeah.
How do you know it's God telling you to do this? Let's go to Abraham. Abraham heard a voice in his head that said, chop off part of your ding-dong and sacrifice your son to me. At what point do we go, whoa, that's crazy. Dude, no. Put the knife down. Let's go and I got a jacket for you. It's very straight and a padded room. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would we believe these crazy things? I mean, how do you know the voice in your head is Yahweh and not, I don't know, your own mental insecurities, your own mental disabilities, your own, you know, mental issues? How do you decipher the two? Because, you know, Abraham and his
Well, I mean, the way I decipher what I believe to be right and wrong is based off scripture, right?
Okay.
So I go to scripture. So okay. I don't, if I heard a voice in my head saying to go kill somebody, I'm probably going to go to the psychiatrist the next day.
Well, stop right there. How do you know that's not Yahweh? Yahweh's told several people in the Bible to go kill other people. How do you know that's not your God? Your God is vengeful. He's jealous. He's wrathful. So how do you know it's not your God telling you to do this? Why is nowadays all of a sudden God's like, you know what? Don't kill anybody. But back then he's like, kill everybody. How do you know the difference between the two?
Well, your question is very broad. I'm trying to figure out what the focus on.
If you hear a voice in your head, how do you decipher it's Yahweh and not your own mental inabilities or your mental issues? How do you decipher the two? Mm-hmm. There's lots of people that hear voices. There's mothers that have drowned their children because God told them to. They slaughtered their children because God told them to. How do you know the difference?
Yeah, I'm very skeptical about anyone who says that they heard that God told them to drown.
Then why are you not skeptical about Abraham himself, who chopped off his own?
That's from scripture.
That is in the Bible. How do you know it doesn't happen nowadays? What's the difference? Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Does God somewhere in the Bible say he's not going to tell anybody to kill their children anymore? Does God say in the Bible somewhere that he's not going to give anybody messages of violence to kill anybody else? No. So how do you know that's not God telling you to go kill a bunch of people?
Well, if someone came to me and they said that they had special revelation from God to do something, I'm going to judge whatever it is that they say by the scripture. And if I think that what they're saying doesn't match up with scripture in any form or fashion, then I'm not going to believe what they say. I really don't care what they claim. So
I'm going to go a little dark here. And there was I think it was in Florida, a mass killing of people in a gay club.
Okay.
That was Yahweh says in scripture to kill gay men. How do you know that person did not receive a revelation from God to go kill a bunch of gay people?
That was from a Muslim man, was it not?
Regardless, his Bible says the same thing, kill the gays. Same as your Bible, kill the gay people.
Well, we can definitely talk about the supposed kill the gay people topic. I would say that if somebody came to me, and for hypothetical reasons, because that was a Muslim person, let's just say the Christian came to me.
Stop right there. Stop right there. There's no way that it's only Muslim people that have killed gay people out of whatever their scripture says.
That's not the claim I'm making. I'm talking about the specific example.
Yes, but we can also go to Christians who have killed gay people out of what the scripture says. How are we supposed to take this? How are we supposed to know if this is a divine revelation?
Let's go to what the scripture says instead of that example that you gave. So in the scripture, it does talk about killing gay people, right?
It's an order. It's not talking about it.
A judgment for their sin, right? And it compares homosexuality to sin.
Yeah.
So, but again, when we're taking the law into context, right, this isn't like someone just coming out and saying, I'm gay, and then we take them and we kill them. No, you would have to catch them in the act. Have to be caught in the act.
Hold on.
Mm.
Let's go with, do you believe that gay people should be killed?
I believe that if we took the laws from the Bible and put them into society today, I believe that law would be relevant. And I think that it would be a just punishment.
Wow.
But again, I'm not saying that we just go and round up gays. There would have to be evidence, concrete evidence.
That would still be gay people. If you caught them in the act, that would still be gay people. All right.
Yeah.
So you think gay people...
I don't want to BS with you, you know?
No, absolutely. Tell me the truth. Yeah. I 100% want to know how much of an asshole you are. 100%. Do you think that gay people should be stoned to death if they are caught in the act?
I don't know that stoned to death is necessarily what we choose today.
Do you think any sort of punishment should happen? Mm-hmm. Any sort of punishment?
For sure.
Wow.
Mm.
All right, Kyle. We've reached the point. Man. Okay, why? Why do you think that?
Because it's God's word.
God damn. Woo. Yeah. I am an unbeliever. I also should be stoned to death. I also take people away from the religion as much as possible. I tell them how detrimental that is. I try and lead them away from Yahweh. According to your Bible, I should be stoned to death as well. I also deserve eternal punishment. So there's a lot there that I have a problem with. I'm a humanist, for starters. And I think that people should be able to choose who they love and who they don't love.
For sure.
And if somebody loves another, if a woman loves another woman, if a man loves another man, I don't think they should be punished for that. And I don't understand how anybody can feel that they deserve death. And your only reason is the Bible.
So again, I start with the facts that God is creator and God sets the standard. Mm. So when God made us, right, he made us male and female. Now, you said that you're all about science. Now, you don't have to look at anatomy for too long to know it's very clear that man and women are designed in a way for each other.
Wow. Okay. So everybody should be this way. Everybody has to be this way.
Hold on. Let me finish. Okay. So there's a created order to how God made that, right? So let's just be very honest with each other, okay? You're telling me that a man and a man being together is natural?
Absolutely. Look at the natural world. Do you know how many homosexual animals there are? Holy
cow. I don't
judge
my morality based off what animals do.
We're animals. Kyle, we're animals. Me and you, we're just animals. We're just advanced animals. That's it.
Oh, so why does it matter then?
Why does what matter? For starters, I'm a human being.
If we're just acting off instincts, then why do you have any right to tell me?
Humanism comes in and steps in and gives compassion and empathy. Okay, so and that's where that comes
in. People come together, they try to be the majority, they set the standard and they push that standard over everybody else. That's what you're telling me?
So what you're saying is that we should all just, if we were all gay, then we would have a problem. Yeah. Guess what? That's why there's different beliefs and different ideas of what you know, man and woman, woman and woman, man and man. You know, I have a different desire than the dude across the street. That's how that works.
Mm.
We don't all need to procreate. We all don't need to have that. I mean, you can even adopt.
Well, I'm not saying marriage is about procreation specifically.
Okay, then so, what is it? What's the deal about man and woman? Why does it have to be a
created
man and woman?
Order. That's the way God made it. Very simple.
That's the way God made it. Because God made man and woman. So now all of a sudden,
and he made man and woman to be together. So, wow. Right? Because what does God say? He says a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his husband.
He also says he's a jealous God punishing children out of jealousy, man. We can't just go with everything he says. I mean, we can't. We kill witches, for instance. You kill witches? How often do you kill a witch? Are you mad about witches?
This is not a Christian society. So, no, I don't.
You realize witches are not real, right? I mean, there's no such thing as magic.
For sure, but
okay, good. Okay, so when the Bible tells you to kill witches,
there's more specifics.
But it tells you to kill gay people. You're like, yeah, gay people, but witches, man, they're not real. But
no, I didn't say I disagree with that scripture.
Oh, so witches are real.
I said that there's more specifics to that topic. But let's say on the homosexuality thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, because I want to ask you again. So you're saying that two men being together is completely natural, right?
There's nothing wrong with it. That's what I'm saying.
So,
and you're telling me it's wrong because some ancient book says
that. Looking at the anatomy of a man, you're telling me that sexual organ going into that place. I'm trying to be as.
Go ahead. No, you're good. This is great. We have an adult rating. There's some dude's penis going into a butthole. We can go ahead and say it. It's fine.
So that's normal.
There's nothing wrong with it, is what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with it. If a man wants to love another man,
that hole.
Who cares? Who cares? You know that? Did you know that heterosexual people have anal sex? Did you know that?
Okay, well, that's not what we're talking about right now.
It is, because you're all about the homosexual going into the butthole. But what about the heterosexuals that do that?
Disagree with it.
Okay, so do they deserve death too?
Do they deserve death? No, I don't think they do.
Why? They're going in the wrong hole.
I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. But getting back to the homosexuality.
Go ahead. Okay? Yeah.
So again, so but you're saying that's natural and normal. I mean, you poop out of that hole. There's nothing natural about sticking your penis into a place where you poop out of. I'm sorry.
There's also nothing natural about sticking it where your vomit comes out.
But that's
where your food goes in. Where does it say about oral sex in the Bible? Does that say that's unnatural and deserving of death as well?
No.
Do you see how ridiculous this sounds, Kyle?
No, it does not sound ridiculous.
Man.
You're trying to make something that's absurd sound like it's okay.
It's absurd to you, Kyle, because you believe something different. You are a heterosexual male. Maybe you're not in your closet. I don't know. But
for
some reason, this is just gross to you. So therefore, what the Bible says is good. What the Bible says is right.
What the Bible
because
says
of what Kyle right believes.
Because, no, not because of what Kyle believes, because that's because God sets the standards.
Yeah,
I didn't make that law. I didn't
slaughtering
that
children
down.
Out of jealousy is a great standard.
No one's innocent. Yeah.
Nobody's innocent.
Nobody's
Let's
innocent.
Go to that, no Kyle. Ooh, man, I'm fired up. Let's go to that. Let's go to that original sin. I love it. Why do you think we're all sinful?
Because the Bible says we are.
Because the Bible also says there's four corners of the earth, Kyle. We don't believe that.
So there is language in the Bible that's not always literal.
Whoa, right? whoa. How do you decipher between literal and not literal, Kyle?
How do you decide? Well,
obviously. We've got all kinds of crazy things in there.
What's that?
We've got all kinds of crazy things in there, not just the four corners. We've got eyeball creatures singing things in heaven. We've got talking animals. How do you decipher what's real when you have talking animals?
Well, I would say you have to look at the language.
The language, okay.
First, yeah.
So, do you think there's talking animals?
Do I think there's talking animals? Obviously, the Bible talks about a snake, right? That
a donkey, a snake. Yeah, there's quite a few things. And at the end of it, every animal on the planet's going to sing praises to Yahweh. Weird stuff, man.
Well, again, if you don't believe in God, and supernatural seems ridiculous, right? So, but I do, and. If God can make an animal talk, I guess he can make an animal talk. I definitely don't think he can't not make an animal do that.
So everything's possible. So everything in the Bible must be true because everything is possible according to your worldview.
Depends on what you mean by everything is possible. But generally, I believe that God is all powerful and he can do things as he wishes.
So maybe he could have not killed children out of jealousy. Maybe he could have not drowned all the horses in the Exodus story. Maybe you could have done things differently. Well, let's take the flood. Every baby, every child who doesn't know right from wrong was drowned. Wouldn't it be amazing if he changed their hearts? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be miraculous?
And he does instead, do those things today.
Instead, he drowned them out of jealousy and regret. Mm. They're not worshiping me. I must drown them. And that's the only option I have. I regret making people. I'm going to drown them. There are so many issues with this God, Kyle. I don't understand how you can even begin to think he's good. Where does the good come from? Name one good thing from him.
One good thing.
Besides the whole creator thing, because my parents created me and I can create all kinds of things in a lab or on video games. That doesn't matter. Creation is crap. That's not an excuse. What makes him so good?
What makes him so good? Obviously, he's good by nature, but obviously there's plenty of things we can read through the scripture that says that he does good things.
It says he does good things to a few handful. Okay, go ahead.
I would say that him saving me is good because I didn't.
He saved you from what, Kyle?
From death, from hell.
From hell. Who created hell?
God.
God. And what did he create it for?
I was originally for Satan and his angels.
Originally. What did it end up being?
It's also a place where people go for punishment.
who don't love your God or believe in him.
For sure.
Has he come down and said hello? Have I met him? Have you met him?
Well, again, the Bible says, right?
The Bible says
that we all know that God exists, but we suppress the truth and unrighteousness.
How do I know God exists when he has yet to reveal himself? Has he revealed himself to you?
So let me ask you this, all right? I'll give you a little hypothetical, right? Mm. So I know you live in Vegas, right?
See.
So gambling is a big thing there, right?
Dude, it's in every gas station. It's ridiculous.
So imagine, right, the lotto is happening, and it's the big one, right?
We don't have everybody. A lotto here.
You don't have a lotto. No, okay, no. So we have a lotto in Texas.
Yes,
okay?
Of course you do. Yeah, yeah, because you don't have gambling.
So that's what, well, we do in some places. Oh. Right? But anyways.
I was wrong. Anyways, no doubt.
But anyways, so let's just say we have a lotto going on, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the big one. Everybody's getting into the big pot, and it's called, and this guy wins, and then the next time they do it, the same guy wins again. And then the next time they do it, the same guy wins again. Now, at this point, everybody's probably thinking it's rigged. Something's going on because, you know, look at the math. It's just, it's hard enough for one person to win once, let alone win three times in a row. But you, what you're telling me is that every time you wake up and the sun comes up and gravity holds you on the ground, that you don't assume that it's rigged.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know how dangerous this world is? It's not rigged to my benefit. I have to struggle to survive. Yes, there's oxygen in the air, but as soon as I step in some water, I'm screwed. As soon as I step out of my atmosphere, I am screwed. I go walk in a jungle, I'm screwed. There's a million things that are going to try and kill me, from like the minuscule to the tigers. I don't see how this is awesome. It's a struggle.
Yeah, because of sin, right?
Let's go there. Let's get this out of the way. Where did the sin come from? Why are we all tainted with this invisible thing?
Well, obviously, it goes back to the story of Adam and Eve. And the
Adam and Eve.
They ate from that tree, right?
Right. So I'm going to give you fruit. A scenario. Well, okay, let's go with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve did not know right from wrong. That's where the tree came in, correct?
I don't believe they did not know right from wrong necessarily.
So they knew right from wrong. So why would they need a tree from good and evil to show them right from wrong?
I think there was a depth of understanding that they did not have at that moment. They had somewhat of an understanding of right and wrong, because God told Adam, what did he say? Don't eat from the tree, right?
That doesn't mean they understand right from wrong.
So then the wrong thing would to be in that situation is God's making clear, don't eat from it. If you eat from it, it's bad. Something's going to happen. So
something
they had. Okay. So even if their understanding was minimal, they had somewhat of an understanding of right or wrong.
So a minuscule amount of understanding. So they've got this much understanding about what's right or wrong. Same like my kids. So if I go to a group of kindergartners who have this much understanding of right from wrong, and I place a gummy bear filled with poison in the middle of a daycare, don't eat that. Don't eat that gummy bear. You know, just like the tree with fruit. Why would he make it fruit? Why didn't he make it like piles of shit hanging from a tree? I mean, just like fruit. We're eating fruit all day long, and you're going to make a thing of fruit that I'm not supposed to eat. Gummy bear. Yeah. A gummy bear in the middle of a daycare. And I say, don't eat that. Nobody eat that or you will die. And then I leave the room. And I tell this other guy, hey, why don't you go in there and try and convince them to eat that gummy bear? How? Before I even try and convince the guy to go in there and tell them, somebody's already going to eat the gummy bear. It's already in their mind. That looks delicious. I haven't eaten that yet. I'd like to try that. Here we go. The whole concept is ridiculous. Let me put my magical deadly trees in the middle of my daycare. In the middle.
Okay.
Not on the outskirts, not hidden under a bush, not made of shit hanging from a tree. You know, I'm going to put my delicious looking fruit tree in the middle of a garden full of fruit trees. And tell my kindergartners not to eat it. What do you think's going to happen, Kyle?
So
who's to blame in that instance? Who put the trees there? Yahweh, your God, put the trees in the middle of the garden on purpose. Could he have stored those trees in the moon?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Could he have stored those trees on the moon?
Well, for sure. I guess he could have put it on Saturn.
Did he have to put them in the middle of the garden? No. Why did he put them there? Because he needs praise and worship. He needs to be adored and loved and honored and glorified. That's what he needs. And in order for that to happen, he needs to set up this whole circumstance, this whole situation where they're forever have to, you know, glorify him and worship him. And like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that Adam and Eve ate a fruit that you put in the middle of the garden. Come on, man. If anybody's to blame for that original sin, it's the guy that put the sin there to tempt them. It's the person who took away the free will to be influenced from an outside source. It's that guy. It's me for putting the gummy worm in the middle of a kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So why again does Yahweh continue to get a pass? It doesn't make any sense to me. Please explain, Kyle.
Okay. So I'm going to answer your question, but let me ask you something right before I do that. Okay.
Go ahead. Ask me something.
So would you say in your household that there's nothing that your kids don't have full access to?
Yes. I have locked doors.
Okay. So, you're saying that, so there's stuff that your kids don't have access to.
Absolutely. So if there's something dangerous in my house, you know what I do as a responsible father?
Mm.
I put it out of the way. I put it on a top shelf where nobody can reach it. I put it behind a locked cabinet where nobody can get to it. I, unlike Yahweh, make things out of reach that are bad.
Mm-hmm. But it's in your house, right?
Yeah, it's in my house.
So it's in the vicinity where your kids are.
Not acceptable. Nope. Not even close. It's in the garage, on a top shelf, in a locked cabinet. There's no way they can get to it.
Okay.
I'm more responsible than Yahweh.
So all your cleaning supplies, all the medications or drugs you may have in your house.
Yep, medications and drugs are locked away. The cleaning supplies, the less, you know, dangerous ones, such as the Lysol and the floor cleaner that I have that's way diluted, I give to the kids so they can help me clean. 100%. I don't make it in the shape of fruit.
Is that stuff not dangerous to them?
I don't make it in the shape of fruit or anything they eat. And guess what? I tell them of the dangers and I show them and we look it up. What was that?
It's in the shape of a liquid, is it not?
It's in the shape of a bottle that says Pine-Sol or Lysol or, you know, and it has warning labels on it. It says all kinds of things. And I also don't let some bad guy in to convince them to drink it.
So
just saying.
My point is simply is that I think that what you're saying is kind of hypocritical. I think
how is that? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, because your accusation is that God put something in the vicinity of Adam and Eve.
Right in the middle.
And because he made it, a fruit that grows on it that looks good, we need to accuse him of being evil for doing that?
No. It's his fault. 100%. It is his fault.
So if your kid picked up the Lysol and drank
started.
It would be your fault.
Well, yeah, absolutely. If I put that bottle of Lysol in the middle of my kid's room, in the shape of anything they eat or drink normally, if I put it in their fucking cup, I'm like, hey, go ahead. You can't drink that. You'll die. It looks good. It smells like lemon, but you're going to die. That's my fault. 100%. 100%. I would take responsibility for putting the poison in the middle of my kid's room. Yahweh does not take responsibility for putting the poison in the middle of the garden. He told them to eat every fruit except for this one fruit that they can't have. That's ridiculous. You can drink any fruit juice I've given you except for this Pine-Sol lemon smelling drink that I've put in the middle of that's poison. You can't drink that.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that doesn't make any sense. as rational, logical human being who wants to protect their kids, it doesn't make any sense to put the poison in the middle of the room. And then on top of that, to let somebody in and say, drink that poison. He let him in. Who let the snake in that could talk? Yahweh. Yahweh has ultimate control over his garden. He made it a perfect place.
Yeah. So, but the same thing could very well happen to you. You don't have 100%. Well, I don't want to compare you to God. So let me be careful there.
Thanks
but,
for that. But, I appreciate
but let
that.
Me. But my point is that, you know, you don't have 100% assurance that everybody that you let come into your home is not going to convince your kids to drink the Lysol, though.
I'm pretty sure that everybody that comes in my house is not going to convince my kids to drink out Lysol. I wouldn't let
well,
those.
You hope so, right?
Who the hell would I let in my room? That doesn't make any sense, Kyle. I don't let, well, I let strangers in my house as far as, you know, those Jehovah Witnesses that knock on the door. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you. You never heard about him. Let me tell you. No, let's have a talk. I let those people in. But I'm not going to let them. I'm not just going to sit by and let somebody convince my kids to drink a bunch of poison. No way, man. No way. Yahweh sat by and let it happen. I guarantee you, Mr. All-Knowing was watching the whole thing happen. He sat there. Oh, look, there's the snake. I let him in. He's going to convince them. Yes, I'm going to get worship forever. This is going to happen. Plan done. I mean, mission complete. I mean, come on, man. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, especially from the point of view of a loving father figure. You're not going to let somebody in to convince your kids to drink something deadly. You're not going to sit it in the middle of their daycare or their room. You're not. You're going to lock it up, put it away somewhere safe. It doesn't make any sense to do that other than, Mr. I want to be praised and worshiped for eternity, so this is how I'm going to make it happen. And then, to top it all off, now things need to die because I put my trees in the middle of the garden. Now things have to die. I need blood. Blood, 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 blood. Bathe yourself in it. Splash it over there. Put it on your earlobe. Put it on your left toe. Now say these words. Now I'm able to forgive you. Disgusting. Horrible. But he's perfect. He loves you.
Well, like I said, I think, you know, just taking in the context, reality of your own home, I still think that it's still hypocritical, the accusation you're making. I think it is.
How is it? Please explain. The hypocritical part. Let go into detail. Let's go. And I'll stop. Okay. Just so you know, I'm
already
halfway through.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, we already kind of went over it, but basically, I asked you if there's anything in the home that your kids don't have full access to.
Stop right there.
Right.
It's not in the middle of their room, so that automatically scratches that idea.
But it's in the house.
It's in the house, locked up in a place where they can't get it. That automatically is different than placing it in the middle of the room, correct? So
well,
you can't
not
even
talking
correlate
about
the two.
Children here, right? Because there's no evidence to say that Adam and Eve were both 5-year-old kids, right? We're not talking about children.
We agreed that
I get your example, and I would even potentially accept
so they're smart.
Your example if we were
so
talking
they're smart
about
people, is what you're saying. They knew right
they
from wrong.
Dumb. Adam and Eve were not dumb. They
kindergartners
knew right
aren't
wrong.
Dumb. They know stuff. They have a sense of some kind of rationale, a little bit of rationale, kind of like Adam and Eve. They didn't know everything, but they had a sense of rationale, correct? They had a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit.
I don't think
so.
I
what
would
grade,
compare to a child, no.
What grade level would you put them at?
I don't know for sure, but I don't think that we can, you know, be honest, honestly read the text and compare it to the mindset of a child. Necessarily.
A child, a teenager?
I mean, they were, I believe that they were made fully developed.
Fully developed, but they did not know right from wrong?
Like I said, they had an idea of right and wrong because God specifically told them not to eat from that.
They
right?
told them, but okay, again, what was the tree called? The tree of knowledge of good
knowledge
and evil?
Knowledge of good and evil.
Would you not consider that to be the knowledge of right from wrong?
Yeah, you could say that.
So they didn't know until they ate the fruit. So at that point,
well, they I would say that there may have been a greater depth of knowledge, right, that they didn't know, because after they knew Adam made it,
certain things worked, but they didn't know right from wrong.
Because after Adam made it, right, they said, we're naked, right?
We're naked. Oh my God, look at my penis. Yeah. It's hanging out. Put some leaves on it.
So that was something that they hadn't thought about, right? They weren't really in their mind before.
What is that? Okay, so right? Being naked is wrong? So they shower with some board shorts on or something? I mean, holy cow. They were just the only two.
Society, do we?
There was no society, Kyle. It was Adam and Eve and a bunch of animals. So how is it wrong for them to be naked?
So it's very clear that we recognize that when we're going around doing our business, we don't walk around naked.
Kyle, that's a society.
You're saying just because there wasn't people there that right. makes that untrue.
And what's wrong with being naked? What's wrong with being naked?
I'm not saying
Kyle?
There's anything wrong with being
naked. You just
naked.
Said there's something wrong with being naked. We can't do it.
I'm
said.
Just saying that we know
right, what?
That just going around naked isn't necessarily an acceptable thing.
In society, nothing to do with Yahweh, right? Nothing to do with Yahweh.
Also, I think there's more to the reason why he said that than just purely being naked. But anyways, the point is that there was a depth of understanding that was given to him after he ate the fruit, correct? Will we agree on that, at least?
A depth of understanding. Understanding about what? Right from wrong? Good and evil.
Sure.
That's what I've been getting at, Kyle.
But
they
it's also
clear. They
didn't
know it beforehand. They got it afterwards.
But my point is that it's not like God put the tree in the garden and then did not tell them that this was not okay to eat, right? He did tell him, so there isn't to say that they had absolutely no understanding completely. It would not be true, because they did have somewhat of an understanding. They knew, hey, this tree, I'm not supposed to eat from that.
Just like God also said, hey, he said not to eat that gummy bear, but that sure does look good. And I don't know right from wrong completely, so I'm going to partake. Oh, and this animal says it's okay. Mm-hmm. A talking animal? How weird. Okay. I'm going to believe this talking animal that says it's okay. And guess what happened? They ate of it and they didn't die. Yahweh says you're going to die the second you touch it. Guess what happened? They ate it and they didn't die. They had to work the field. He cursed them with a bunch of weird stuff that we fixed later on in life, like birth pain. We fixed that. It's called epidural. Epidural. And then we got you're going to sweat while you're getting rid of the weeds. No, we got spray gets rid of the weeds. We also have tractors, which help us, remove stuff. And then we got all the farming equipment that helps us take the stuff out, separate it, put it together. We don't even have to break a sweat anymore. You just push a button. We've diverted the whole curse. The entire curse is pointless at this point. And then you even go to the snake. The snake must eat dust for the rest of its life. No, they eat mice, rats, hamsters, ducks, chickens. I don't see any snake out there. You're like, dust. I mean, I don't see that happening. So all these curses are pointless at this point. We've all bypassed Yahweh's curses. How effective is that? How effective is your deity's curses? I mean, at that point, I mean,
I think there's a deeper answer to that question.
Deeper, of course there is.
I don't know. To be honest, we would have to take probably a whole nother show just for that. It's definitely a deeper question, but I don't think there's like a simple 5-second answer I can give to that. So,
and you know what? Go ahead. But.
Okay. But, I want to bring it up again because I think it's getting easily forgotten as we've gone through this discussion, which is that, again, you're making morality claims, right? Uh-huh. You're claiming that you're reaching to a superior morality, and you're saying that this is more superior than the
absolutely.
God of the Bible. Right?
Absolutely. I am more superior than the God of the Bible because Kyle, don't forget this, because okay. I do not punish children out of jealousy. That makes me 100% better
and more moral you shouldn't either. Yeah.
Than your deity.
Yeah.
I also don't hold grudges against my children for any sin they do or anything they do against me or any, they can be gluttons. They can curse me. I'm not going to hold it against them.
And God,
I'm not
going to
torture them forever because of it.
Yeah.
That makes me better. That makes me more moral. 100%.
Yeah. But again, from your view, that would just be an opinion, correct?
Yeah. It's just my opinion that children should not be punished out of jealousy.
Well, again,
just my opinion, though, Kyle.
It's not an is it an objective, absolute standard, universal?
Kyle, can yeah. we agree that between me and you, fuck the world, just me and you in a conversation, can we agree that torturing children out of jealousy is not the way to go about things?
What I'm saying is,
Kyle,
hold on, let me answer. I'm answering.
Go ahead.
I'm saying I know how to make sense of that from my worldview, and I would say yes, that's wrong, right? But I'm asking you how you make sense of it in your worldview as an absolute standard.
Absolute standard. Okay. Mm-hmm. Humanity. Humanism. Mm. I think that all life on earth is precious and that we should preserve it. All life. That goes from the monkey in the Amazon to the kid in the room next door. I think we all deserve to try our best, to be our best. We deserve to live a life that's full and happy.
Yeah.
And I think somebody that comes in and says that you can't have a happy, full life because you're worshiping the wrong God or because you're doing the mm-hmm. wrong thing, something I don't like, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's so right at all. I think the gay guy down the street who's happy and not hurting anybody, who's not doing any harm, should be allowed to live his life. I don't think butt sex is the automatic excuse for somebody that's wrong. Like, you're wrong because you're doing it wrong. Because I said so, because this ancient book that says I commit, kill children out of jealousy said so. I don't see that. I see humanity. If you're happy and you're not hurting anybody else, so be it. Live your life. Be happy. Do what you want. And if the hurting is by, I'm going to use an example, I'm sorry. If Kyle gets upset because some gay guy down the street has butt sex in the middle of the night in his house by himself, if Kyle gets upset about that, well, that's just too bad. I don't think you should be able to judge somebody about what they do in the comfort of their own home, especially if they're not hurting anybody else. And I don't think anybody deserves to be stoned to death. That's quite a thing, especially disobedient children or we didn't even get into the whole rape in the Bible, but slavery, that's a whole nother thing. Part two. Hold it.
Yeah, hey, please. I would love to explain that.
Slavery in the Bible. That's a whole other thing. Okay. So
I thought that's what we were going to talk about tonight.
Me too. But we went on wormholes and whatnot.
Yeah, we did.
I do that. It happens.
Before I forget what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
So you're saying that you care about the life of mosquitoes.
Sure. Why not? Why can't they be allowed to do what they want? Just don't do it in my house.
So when a mosquito lands on you, you let it just suck the blood out of you.
This is what I do. I go like that. That's what I do. Get out of here, mosquito. And I open the door.
You don't spray any kind of bug spray on you?
No, that's harmful to the people in my house, to the animals in my house. I have other animals. I have a dog. I have a leopard gecko. I got frogs. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is harmful to them. So I don't spray that in the house. I don't put things in my house that is harmful to other people. It's weird, but I don't.
So do you drive a car around?
Does
that car hit bugs?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it's not my fault
you're not caring about the road. Right?
Well, I absolutely care about it. Absolutely. And if I had the chance to move them out of the way, I would. You know, they have these things. They have these things on cars. I should probably get one. Thanks for reminding me. They have these things on cars that like warn bugs or deer or whatever's in the road to get out of the way. I would do less harm if possible, Kyle. That's what makes me different from your deity. I go out of my way to do less harm.
That's again, what I do. Less harm is a subjective term.
Why is that subjective?
Why is that subjective?
Absolutely.
Because in your worldview,
why is it objective to kill everything?
I didn't say that.
Okay, well then why is it subjective to not?
So I'm saying from your worldview, when you're talking about what the definition of harm is.
Humanism.
Okay. Again, right? That's a group of people that have supposedly made a standard of what that definition is. Let's just go with
me. Forget everybody else. Let's just go. Me.
Okay.
My idea.
You have decided
what the
definition of harm is.
I have. Just me. Do less harm. Do less.
So
I mean, it's pretty simple.
If there's a group of people who have more power than you and they say harm is defined a different way, what makes their...
Which way is different?
Well, I'll pick a fictional character. That way we don't start bringing up Hitler and Stalin. And
I love it.
Well, let's say Thanos.
Yes, I knew you. How did he know?
His definition of harm, right?
Just snap it all up in existence.
Yeah. Right? What is your definition wrong with that? Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm asking. Why is your definition of harm?
So I'm in existence right now.
Better than his definition.
I'm in existence right now. I'm currently existing. And if Thanos snapped me out of existence, that would be me gone. So I would not be able to have my own thoughts, my own life anymore. He's taken that from me.
Yeah,
that's where the harm comes from. That is harm.
He's been taken
out of my life because somebody thinks something different. That's harm to me.
But in that situation, he would say that the harm is that you're actually causing the harm.
How am I causing
the harm?
There's
too many people.
There it is.
There's too many people. And the harm is that we're destroying the creation around us.
But you're so close.
The animals and the other creatures around
us. You're so close.
The life around us. The plants, right?
What could have Thanos done that would have been better?
Well, you tell me. I'll listen.
Right off the bat, created more resources. That was his whole issue. There was not enough resources for everybody to live. Everybody's fighting for this and that. Why don't you just create more resources instead of killing the people that are here or snapping them out of existence? They have lives that are already established. Give them more resources. You have ultimate power. Give them that more resources. Be that loving, caring being. Be a humanist or whatever you want to call it. Be compassionate, empathetic.
But the point The point is
that
he had a different definition of harm.
Right. And I'm telling you, it was wrong.
Okay. But
to snap everybody out of existence is wrong. Give them the more resources that they need instead of taking them out of the equation. It's very simple. You have ultimate power, just like Yahweh. Ultimate power. He can do whatever he wants, but he chooses to punish children out of jealousy, kill people who have butt sex, and anybody who disagrees with him. That's not loving. That's not compassionate. That's not empathetic. Thanos was not empathetic. Thanos did not think his shit through. If you just give everybody a little more resources, we'll all be fine. Why not duplicate it, double it? No, Thanos' idea was, in the end, even in the end, we go to Endgame, where Thanos says, you know what? You're all just a bunch of, you're annoying me, so I'm going to wipe everybody out and start them off so they all love me. Just like Yahweh. What a thing. I don't think that's a very good idea. I think there's better ways to go around it. I think there's better ways to do it. I think there's better ways to parent. You know, don't put that poison in the middle of the room. Lock it up somewhere. You know, Kyle, I'll let you have the final word. We're out of time. We're way out of time. Kyle, say what you got to say. I'll try not to rebut it. I can't guarantee
you. Try not to. Well, you know, first off, I thank you for having me on. You know, I know I'm just an average Joe. I'm not a pastor or anything like that. So I appreciate you having me on. Maybe I sound like a jerk. You seem to make that implication, but I definitely do pray.
Not you. It's your God. Salvation, man. It's your God that's doing this. Sorry. I told you I tried not to, but go ahead.
Yeah. But I definitely do pray for your salvation. And I hope that, you know, one day God would save you.
You know what he could do? He could show up. That'd be a really great idea. Up, say hi. He did with Jesus. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, well, we're going to end. How long is this going to go?
I don't know. But you're saying he did. And I'm just, is that Jesus? Because he didn't introduce himself to me. That's an ancient book. There's so many ancient books with ancient deities and ancient gurus. How am I supposed to take this as the truth? He never showed up to me. He never knocked on my door. I've had lots of people knock on my door, but not one of them has been Jesus or Yahweh. And that's a great way to introduce yourself. Hi. I'm the person everybody keeps talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, I think there's an answer to that, but you said this is the end. And
this is the end. This is the end. We'll go all part two for sure. I've enjoyed myself. You've said some things to piss me off that I definitely don't agree with, but we'll go another round. There's definitely more to talk about. So, appreciate your time.
Talk about slavery and stuff next time.
Writing it down now. Slavery. 100%. We need to talk about that because you said it was divorce with God, and that just threw me on a whole nother tangent. So, all right, we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Kyle, thank you so much for your time. And we'll keep in contact.
Sounds good.
That's all the show there is for you today. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to help keep the recording light on, simply go to patreon.com/BSW the podcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show. Your episodic tithes of $1 or more will give you access to the patron feed, unaired conversations, early access to each episode, and much more. For the latest events, BSW swag, and a peek behind the scenes, head on over to the show's ever-evolving webpage at thebiblesayswhat.com. The Bible Says What the book is out. Head on over to thebiblesayswhat.com and get yourself and your grandma a signed copy. Thanks to the cosmic powers of the internet, it is now possible to buy me a beer or coffee online. Simply go to buymeacoffee.com/BSW the podcast and click the appropriate buttons. If you can't support the show monetarily, please like, share, and or leave a review. As always, you can find me at the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or Instagram pages. You can also reach me at bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And no matter which platform you use to listen to your podcasts, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss out on the next episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them? Hee 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 hee!